Normally, when we're reading Parshas Mishpatim right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, when it's Rosh Chodesh Benching, so normally it would be three different things of note. You have Parshas Mishpatim, you have Rosh Chodesh Adar, and normally it would be Parshas Shkalim as well. So let's take a look at each of those things, and then maybe develop an idea that I think is an important idea in Avodas Hashem. You know, both in Torah Shabbat and in Torah Shabbat Peh, there is tremendous emphasis on Dini Mamonis in terms of its position in Yiddishkeit, in the way that we look at our religion. In Torah Shabbat, there's a clear juxtaposition, obviously, between the Aseres HaDibros, Kabbalas HaTorah, together with Mishpatim, together with all of these dinim in Dinim Amunis. And that seems to indicate to us that these are very, very lofty principles, that these aren't just, you know, you got to have some system, so this is the system. You know, it seems like there's something more to it. In Torah Shabbat Peh, the measure of a Talmud Chacham, the measure of a Ben Yeshiva, basically, is, you know, do you learn the Zikin? That's the bread and butter. Or can you read Rashi on this week's Parsha? You know, like that's which is the same thing, basically. So that, right, that's the bread and butter of Yeshiva Bacher. Someone told me once that they asked Rav Sabalovsky what he learns when he wants to work on his emuna, and he said Ktsoy Sechishin. So, you know, which like, you know, there's something to that. But that's that's the measure. That's how a Ben Yeshiva, you know, thinks sometimes. So even more than that, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin tells us that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have 10 things. So you can think, like, what's the most important thing to have in the city where Talmud Chacham lives? So, I don't know, a yeshiva, a mikveh, this, that. First thing on the list is a beis din. That there needs to be a beis din. There needs to be din in the city. It also needs a tzedakah fund and a shul and a bathhouse and whatever else. All these other, but everything else on the list is like something like for the basic running of everyday life. And a beis din is, you know, how often do you use a beis din? You use a beis din when something unfortunate happens. You know, when there's something that comes up that you know, I don't know, till I got slightly involved in, and very slightly involved in beis din. I never even realized that people use beis din, but it is, it's something that comes up, and it comes up when it comes up. It's apparently very important for the city to function. But why? What is it about beis din and about din that's so central to Jewish life? Second, when we think about Rosh Chodesh Adar, you know, we love to sing about Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, and, you know, to publicize that, it's a real feel-good moment, you know, when you talk about Chodesh Adar. We love that phrase, but have we ever stopped to, like, think about, like, what does that actually mean, that Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha? Meaning, there are two ways you can learn it. It could mean that when Adar comes, we have an achrayus, we have a mitzvah, we have a responsibility to be marba besimcha. So do things that make you happy because it's Chodesh Adar. Or it could mean that there's joy in the air, that mishenichnas Adar, there is an opportunity for simcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the teva of the bria during Chodesh Adar, that now there's a mazel of simcha at this time. So which is it? Is it that we're supposed to generate the simcha, or that the simcha is there and we're just supposed to tap into that which is already there? What exactly does it mean? And again, on a typical year, Parsha Shkalim would be read right before Chodesh Adar. Shkalim is always, Machs HaShekel is always associated with Adar, which is a little bit funny. The Machs HaShekel is associated with Adar, because it's true, we're mashmin al Shkalim be'achab Adar, but it's not really a din in Adar, right? Why are we mashmin al Shkalim in Adar? Mashmin al Shkalim in Adar because it's din in Nisan, that in Nisan you need to have bring the karbanos from the new money. Elamai, you need a little bit of lead time to collect the money. So in the lead time to collect the money, well, now it's really a in Nisan, but we always associate it with Adar. So is there any connection? Is there any connection between the Machs HaShekel and Adar? Meaning, Lamashal, you know, like, you want to make a zecher to something. So imagine, like, there's a fundraising campaign that enables the building of a new yeshiva, or the building of a new shul, or something like that, or a new mikveh, or some major institution with you know, there's a charity, or Raise It, or whatever, you know, one of these campaigns. gains and it raises whatever, quadruple match, this, that, whatever, and you get, you know, they raise millions of dollars or something. So when they celebrate the anniversary, what do they celebrate the anniversary of? They celebrate the anniversary of the campaign or of the opening of the building, of the opening of the Mossad? Pashtus is, it's the goal, it's the opening of the Mossad. It's not, campaign is a hechitimtza, it's a hechshra mitzvah, to get to the goal. And yes, each year, you know, we celebrate the Shkalim around Chodesh Adar, not around Chodesh Nisan. The Shkalim was just to be Mashmiala Shkalim, so that we can have the new Shkalim. But the point is, the new Shkalim go into effect, and they're actually used in Chodesh Nisan. So what exactly is the connection to Adar? So I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, two important ideas that I think dovetail very beautifully and demonstrate. I don't think he put them together, but I think they dovetail very nicely and demonstrate how to be part of a joyous and successful Mossad, Tzibur, Yeshiva. First, the Stipler has a letter that's printed in the Kilas Yaakov and Baba Kama in Simon Mem Dalid about who owns a public institution. Meaning, is it the family that's been running it? Is it the major donors who give money? You know, when there's a Mossad that somebody starts on his own and uses his own money, let's say I start my own shul and I pay for the whole thing, and it's, you know, whatever. You have like this, you have some wealthy people that have started their own, you know, deer shoe, right? So this philanthropist in Toronto, David Hofstetter, started this whole thing, and he pays for the whole thing, and he invests, I don't know, $10, $20 million a year into this program. So it's his. There's no shayla. So he makes a sima shas and he sits with all the gedolim, and it's his. It's totally up to him, because he put everything into it. So that's pashut that it belongs to him. But let's say you have, what happens more frequently is you have one person who does all the work, meaning a person who works really hard to raise the money, to start the Mossad, and through his work, they gather the money, they buy a building, and so who's the bailim on the entity? Who becomes the bailim on that entity? It's a very technical Dine Mamadis question. So the Stipler quotes a Gemara Makos Daf Yud Gimel, that if a Rotzeach Shagala, he gets out of Golos because the Kohen Gadol dies. So now that he's out of Golos, when the Kohen Gadol dies, is he Chozer L'Sror Arishona? Does he go back to his original position of whatever he was, of being a Rosh Yeshiva, of being president of a shul or something? So Rav Meir writes, Chozer L'Sror Shahayiba. He gets his old position back. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that lo ayah chozer, he forfeited his communal position. So some of the Rishonim pasuk like Rav Meir, the Rambam pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, but says only because asi takala gadol al yado, because it's a bit of a bizayon that you have someone who murdered somebody that's going to be in a position of sarara. But short of that, if not for the fact that it was such a terrible thing that happened, short of that, if someone is benched for a while for some reason, he gets his job back. He gets his sarara back. So the implication is that normally a person has bailus on his position. It's a remarkable riot. The Stipler says, you see from there that if a person takes bailus of something, he becomes the bailum of it. Even though in Dine Mamanis he may not be the bailum because he didn't pay anything, but he's the one, he had that position by virtue of the fact that he had that position, it is his. It belongs to him. You know, Lahavdil, a starting quarterback, it used to be the thing that they would say, I don't think they say this anymore, that if a starting quarterback gets injured, that you don't lose your job to injury. That if you get injured, and even though the backup does a great job, but you shouldn't lose your job to injury. When you're better, you come back and you take your job back. I think now they just say, well, who gives us the best chance to win? Like, I don't care if you got injured or your grandmother died or whatever. Like, if you don't give the best chance to win. But there used to be such a concept that you don't lose your job to injury. So Stipler explains that when there's a chiyuv on the cloud, right, so we often think of it like, if I have a personal chiv, so that's mine, right? But if there's a chiv on the tzibur, we have in Judaism, we have a chavas ha-yachon, a chavas ha-tzibur, a number of things. Some things are an individual's responsibility. Like there's an individual has a responsibility to teach Torah to his children. An individual has a responsibility to learn Torah. There's a chavas ha-tzibur to set up malamti tinokas b'chol every year b'chol pelech b'pelech. That's a gemara mesechs b'basra, the second paragraph of b'basra, right? That's whose responsibility is it to make sure there's a yeshiva in every community? Whose responsibility is it to make sure there's a mikveh in every community? Whose responsibility? So there's no individual you can point to and say, it's on you, it's your responsibility. No, there's no individual. It's a chava on the tzibur. So one is enticed to think, a chava seyachid is mine. But a chava seyachid is not really mine. I could just sort of blend in, and it's not mine more than it is Anybody else's, you know? So what happens when you have a chavos tzibur? People say, you know, somebody should really build a mikveh there. You know, somebody should really start a chevra kadisha in that community. Somebody should, you know, shovel the walkway to the shul. Somebody should take care of running events or whatever. Somebody should. So Steinberg explains, no, it's the opposite. When you have a chavos tzibur, that's an opportunity to make it yours. Chavos yachid, you don't have a choice. Chavos yachid is yours because it's everybody's. Everybody has their own chavos yachid. But a chavos tzibur, not everybody's going to get to do. And when you take bailus of it, you become the bailum of it. A chavos tzibur, when you step up to do something, when you step up in a leadership position to do something, it that somebody becomes you. So anybody who does something because there's a need for it, owns it. He has a bailus on it, and he keeps that position of sarara forever. The Maram Shik in a tshuva quotes a Gemara in Tainis Daf Yudches that certain families would bring the atzei maracha. So later, they had bailus on those dates. No one else was allowed to bring the atzei maracha on those dates. Why? Because we did it. When no one else is doing it, we did it. And if we did it, it's ours. And therefore, we have the zchus. We have the right to do it. The Gemara says, in another example, the Gemara says there are three groups for Korban Pesach because the Azara couldn't accommodate everybody at the same time. So they had to split up the tzibur. But the Gemara says the third group is called the Kasa Atzlanim. Those are the lazy people. I don't understand. Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you want from us? They can't fit in two groups. There have to be three groups. So why do you have to call the third group lazy people? It's not like, you know, they have to exist. There has to be a third group. And the answer is, yeah, they have to exist, but you don't have to be part of it. You could have made it into the first or the second group. And by choosing not to be part of the first or the second group, even though there has to be somebody in the third group, it doesn't have to be you. Chazal tell us that the Asar Rishonim in a minyan are Makabel Schar Keneged Kulam. So you go up after 120 years and you say, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, not everybody could be from the Asar Rishonim, meaning every minyan has more than 10 people. So obviously there are always going to be people that are not from the Asar Rishonim. So what's the Beis Mishol Maila going to say? Yeah, but you could have been from the Asar Rishonim. Meaning it's not that hard to be from the Asar. Just come on time. You're probably from the Asar. It's not that hard. You could have been from the Asar Rishonim. When they need a minyan for a Mesa Mitzvah, right? So what do? We just had yesterday someone did a Levi, they need a minyan for a Mesa Mitzvah. So naturally, you contact Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva. Why do you contact Rosh Yeshiva when you need a minyan for a Mesa Mitzvah? Because you have access to all these young men that can go and make a minyan. Why don't they call, like, the owner of the pizza shop? Kosher pizza shop. You see people hocking around over there doing nothing, you know, get them over to, you know, to the, why is it that only the B'nai Torah? I don't know, it's a reality of the way that we live. Somebody has to do it, but we should maximize our mitzvahs. We should probably find people who aren't doing mitzvahs anyway, and get them to do mitzvahs. Maybe that would be better. But what emerges from all this is that the chiyuv of the tzibur does not absolve the individual. To the contrary, it doesn't absolve the individual. It gives the individual an opportunity to own a mitzvah that he otherwise wouldn't own. I don't own the mitzvah of tzitzis. Everybody has a mitzvah of tzitzis. I don't own the mitzvah of tzitzis. Everybody has a mitzvah of tefillin. But when there's a chavos tzibur and it's not going to be done by everybody, that gives me the opportunity to become the bailim on that mitzvah. That is idea number one. I think it's a critical idea. The second idea relates to Misha Nichnasad and Marvim Simcha. So we asked, does it mean that we have a mitzvah to increase our level of simcha, or is it a description of the nature of the avir of the month, of the avirah, of the overall mood and the overall what HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the bria this month? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, put some happy juice in our water this month. You know, does he put the laughing gas in our air this month? Does he give us that sense of simcha, not that happy juice or laughing gas is what simcha really means, but you know what I mean. Does it become part of our atmosphere? Nafkamina is, do you have a chiv to be marbib simcha? Meaning, should you drink wine? It's right, Chodesh Adar. Remember, Moshe Weinberger made a joke about that. On the one hand, kishem shemish shenichnasad matim b'simcha kach mishenichnasad mar b'simcha sounds like it's about personal obligations, right? By mimatim b'simcha, there are certain things that we stop doing that you're not allowed to do, and therefore you would think the kishem mishenichnasad mar b'simcha. So now there are certain things that you should proactively do. But on the other hand, the idea that you should delay a court case with an achri until Adar implies that it's all about mazel, that it's about the mazel of Adar, is that Adar. Adar is a time that's natural to the day, a time of Simcha. So what's the truth? So as is often the case, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. There's probably Tzvei Dinim over here. You don't have to be such a big brisker to see this, that there are two things about Adar. It's a requirement to have a Riboy Simcha, and it's also a time of Mazel for a Jew. But even that, even when you view it that way, that it's both, which brings about which? Meaning, is it because we have good mazel that we're happy, or is it because we're happy that we have good mazel? Meaning, one could argue, and the Maharal writes in Parsha Shoftim, Parachav Pasuk Hei, Maharal has a critical insight. He comments on the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Chasun Shunakol Molchama, in the Shana Rishona, lest he die, and his wife is going to be an almana, and then Isha Acher Yikachena. Then another guy is going to marry his wife, and how sad that is. And Rashi says, the reason we emphasize that the other guy will marry her, because after all, who cares that another guy's going to marry? That's good, right? Meaning, if a tragedy happens, and someone dies, and there's an almana, and then you heard, oh, the almana got engaged. Well, what does everyone say? Oh, that's such good news. Mazel tov. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. That's such happy news, right? That's a good thing. Ishachar yikachena. So says Rashi. Well, that's the fear? The fear is ishachar yikachena? The fear is that he's going to die. That should be the fear. So Rashi writes, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. So what does that mean, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh? So the Maharal explains, the reason we emphasize Agmas Nefesh and paint such a sad picture is that the risk of death is not really what exempts him from war. It's the sad thoughts that he's going to bring to the battlefield that exempts him from war. The sad thought of the guy dying and his young almana having to get remarried will cause everybody else to be sad. And the Maharal says, Dovr Zed Gorei Mamisa. That's going to cause everybody to die on the battlefield. Because he's going to go in sad. He's going to go in thinking and allow his mind to wander to all these different places of, you know, someone else being with his wife and this and that, which ultimately would be a great simcha if he was gone, you know, if he wasn't there. But, like, you don't want that in his head. So he's going to be thinking all those things. That's going to be Agmas Nefesh. And when he has a sense of Agmas Nefesh, it's going to cause anxiety for him. And when he's anxious, everyone around him is going to be anxious. And then they're going to fail in war. They're not going to be successful. And what the Maharal is telling us, something huge, that a positive attitude brings success, and a negative attitude brings failure. Mishnechnasad marvim besimcha means both things. It means that there's a mazel of simcha, and it means that we're supposed to generate simcha. But which comes first, right? Which generates which? Is it the fact that we're generating simcha that brings about the mazel of simcha, or the mazel of simcha that we then tap into by generating simcha? It could be that we create that mazel by generating our own simcha, by taking charge, by doing something, by working on having a positive attitude, by working on being more happy people and more positive people. There then becomes an avira of simcha that affects all the other troops. It affects everybody else around us. So you can say, oh yeah, there's a positive vibe in the air in that place. Well, where did that positive vibe come from? It came from positive people. It's not that there's like a bracha, you know, certain places you go, there's just like an energy, there's like a positive vibe. Where does that come from? It's not that there's, you know, this blessing from Shemayim, that there's a positive vibe, and then people are able to tap into it. No, people create that positive vibe. People generate that positive atmosphere. And that answers really all of our questions. You put these two yesodos together. Again, yesod number one, that communal responsibilities are an opportunity to own a mitzvah. And that positivity breeds success, and everything falls into place. The Talmud Chacham cannot live in a place without a Beis Din. It's not a din in choosing a community. It's not a din that, like, Talmud Chacham is looking, where should I move? Should I move there? Should I move there? Well, that place doesn't have a Beis Din, that place doesn't. No, it's saying, Talmud Chacham, the first thing you're going to be able to take care of is a Beis Din, because you're a Talmud Chacham. I don't know if you know how to build a Beis HaMerechatz, but one thing you should do is you should know din, you know Nezikin, yeah? So you should be able to set up a Beis Din. It's your opportunity to take advantage of a communal responsibility. Don't say, oh, well, there's no Beis Din or yeshiva or mikvah or shul, so I guess I should go somewhere else. No, that's your opportunity to build. We read about Chodesh Adar, and we welcome Rosh Chodesh Adar with the recognition that our job is to make our own mazel. When we're positive and we're happy, we bring about abundant success. And maybe that's why Shkolim is related to Adar. You know, Rav Dessler writes in Michtam Elio in Chelek Beis on page 123, he says that being marbe b'simcha will breed hatzlacha. And if you're happier, it's easier to give. And it all connects. Giving, tzedakah. All of that happens when your mind is open, when you're feeling good about yourself. The juxtaposition of Machzor Shachar with Adar, even though it's really a din in Nisan, teaches us a little bit about giving. It teaches us a little bit about what it means to give. When there's a ribui simcha, it's much easier to give. When you're sameach, you're an ohev, and when you're an ohev, you'll be a giver. You know, a lot of times people look at, I don't know the first thing about fundraising. I never had to do it in any of the jobs that I've ever had. And, you know, it's pretty much been a condition of my employment in every place I went that I should never have to deal with fundraising. I hate asking people for things, and especially for money. So, it's not my thing. But one thing that seems to be true to me is that people make a mistake. That people think that, like, okay, he's only going to give, a certain philanthropist, he's only going to give X amount of dollars, so to the extent that he's giving there, he's not giving here. So do I want to set him up in a position where he's going to be giving there, because if he's giving there, then he's not giving here. I don't think that's the way it works. I think if you develop the personality of a giver, he'll just give more. Meaning if a person gets used to being a giver, and a person is in a place where he sees that as his mission in life, and he sees that he's connecting to an institution, to a cause, to it, then he wants to give to it. And you'll often find that the people who already give the most, when push comes to shove, and they'll give more. They'll go above and beyond, because this is their place now. This is their thing that they want to give to. It doesn't subtract when you have someone giving. Adraba, a giver becomes a giver. A person who feels a sense of connectedness, a person who feels a sense of ahava, a person who feels a sense of simcha, is always going to want to give. And again, I say this not as a fundraiser, because I'm not, and if anyone calls me out on this and says, okay, so good, go do fundraising. No, the answer is no. But that's what it has to start with. So who has to start with this ava? So it's a responsibility of each and every person. You know, you have to, when someone asks you how your day was, you know, it's like, it's such an, Rav Naftali Yeager, Rav Shiva Shayashiv, once said, I've quoted this a lot in the past, he once said, you know what the definition of a nudnik is? Someone who you ask, when you ask him how you're doing, he gives you an honest answer. You know, like, no one wants to hear all your sorrows, you know, if you say, how you doing? Don't tell me every problem you ever had. You know, find something positive to say, find something nice to say, find something, if a person, will always tell you what's wrong with the day, and others talk about great things, so then, you know what's going to happen? When someone sees the guy who says, what's wrong with the day, they'll cross the other side of the street and try to find someone who's a little more positive influence on their lives. The person has to bring a sense of positivity, has to breed a sense of positivity. Obviously, if you're struggling with something, you need people to talk to or whatever, but don't bring that negative energy to the whole world around you. The Kavanos Tzibor are communal responsibilities. So the Torah Kedosha teaches us that instead of saying somebody should take care of it, each and every Jew has to say, I am that somebody, and I'm going to give a half a shekel. And by having that can-do attitude and that positive energy, ultimately we're going to be happier, we're going to be more ready to give, and ultimately we're going to change the muzzle of everything around us. You find this so often with, really in everything in life. I saw on Twitter yesterday, to quote Twitter in a Torah, in a shir, but whatever. But I saw on Twitter yesterday, someone said, what's a phrase that a Jew would always use and a non-Jew wouldn't even understand what it means? Right, so someone said, I'm getting it wrong here, but someone said, I didn't enjoy the services in this church at all. I'm going to start my own church. You know, like that would never ever happen. It's not part of the vocabulary. But it shouldn't be part of. Meaning, obviously, we need new shuls and we need new mosques or whatever. But that's not the first place we should go, right? Meaning, when something isn't meeting all of our needs. In wherever we are, in a yeshiva, in a shir, in whatever. So the shaila is, okay, so what can I do to bring more positivity to it? What can I do to make it better, to make it stronger? Sometimes it's irreconcilable and it's not possible. But that's rare. You know, usually if you're in a place that's not so far off from where you should be, that you need to be looking far afield. You need to bring that sense of positivity into everything that we do and take bailus over something. And then when you take bailus over something, you become, as the stipler said, you become the bailum over something. And that ultimately gives a person the greatest sense of satisfaction and gratification.